What's up, y'all? Will here at Schedule Fly. This episode is with Aaron Schnell, owner of Lucy Boone Ice Cream down in New Orleans. And they just opened, he and his wife just opened their first brick and mortar location about a month ago. But they've been doing this since, well, for 3 years. COVID really was what launched Lucy Boone. They had been planning for it, and COVID helped accelerate it. And great conversation. Love this guy. Can't wait to have some of his ice cream. Small little place, y'all. They have over 9,000 followers on Instagram. Amazing. Check out their Instagram and check out this episode. But before you do, a word from our sponsor, Pop Menu. Pop Menu is a new partner of Schedule Fly, and we have a lot of happy mutual customers. And more on that in just a minute. But let me read what they like me to say. Pop Menu is all about making your day easier and your sales bigger. They will simplify your marketing operations, bring in more guests, and capture customer data for personalized remarketing to keep them coming back. With one super simple to use platform that integrates with most point of sales like Toast and Square and a number of others, Pop Menu starts with a beautifully designed, easy to update interactive menu that transforms the guest experience online. It includes a brand new website that's optimized for search engines like Google for no additional cost, automated digital remarketing, online ordering, and waitlisting, and you'll never miss another call with their AI answering solution that costs as little as 47 cents an hour. And there's just so much more in there. There's a link to them in the show notes here. I'll say that, you know, my personal take is that we have a lot of mutual customers at Schedule Fly with Pop Menu, and the ones I've talked to say great product, great customer service, great results. So check them out. Link in the show notes here. Pop Menu. Mention Schedule Fly, and you'll get a discount on your photography when you sign up for Pop Menu. And with that, here we go with Aaron. Lucy Boone Ice Cream, New Orleans, Louisiana. More of these episodes coming soon. Y'all enjoy. See ya.
All right. Hey there.
What's up, Aaron?
How you doing?
Man, I'm good. How you doing?
Not bad, not bad. Let me close the door real quick to my kitchen. Sorry. All right, good morning.
Dude, thank you for doing this today.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I love, you know, anytime I can sit down and not be in the kitchen, it's, you know, not being on my feet's wonderful.
Good.
Yeah, happy to sit down and chat with you.
Good. All right, man. Well, do me a favor, just introduce yourself.
Yeah, well, my name's Aaron. I'm the owner of Lucy Boone Ice Cream. It's a little small operation we've got going. It's me and my wife. We opened about a month ago, but we launched about 3 years ago, but opened our brick and mortar February of this year. So yeah, you know, just loving the ice cream life.
Down in New Orleans.
Yes, indeed.
So, okay. I was wondering, so you've been doing this 3 years because you've got like a huge Instagram following, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, we're very happy with it. I think we're somewhere around 9,000, I think, followers, which is great. And for the most part, you know, you can check analytics and all that. Most of them are local, or at least like South Louisiana, which is what you want, you know, people that actually can come in and buy your products.
Well, congrats on being open a month brick and mortar, but let's go back. Tell me what is the backstory about Lucy Boone?
So, Lucy Boone is named after our daughter, Lucy. So it's, you know, everybody always says, oh, that's so sweet, but really it's just, you know, she was like a month old when we launched. We just named her. It was a good enough name and we were exhausted. So, you know, we just kind of leaned into it.
Dude, you launched right after your daughter was born, man.
Yeah, we were crazy. It was. Yeah, it was kind of perfect timing. It was the right timing, and no, we leaned into it. You know, we figured our daughter was a good sleeper, so let's do it. You know, we had plenty of spare time on our hands with a 1 month old. That was great. No, but we started small. You know, we were very happy with how we scaled. We started with home delivery. You know, we'd post something on Instagram. Hey, I've got 200 pints. First, you know, with 200 people to DM us, we'll deliver to you. Outgrew that after about three or four deliveries. So, you know, that was I think, you know, generally about 8 hours in my truck driving around with ice cream. And that's just time consuming. It was, you know, planning the routes took an hour. It was rough. But after that, we started kind of doing little pop-ups. We'd bring a freezer out to a little like local market or something. And, you know, just try and sell as many pints as we could. And, you know, we would do one a week to start. And I think we could pack about 150 pints into a freezer, 148 into a freezer. And we would generally sell out when we were doing it once a week. So then we had to pick up to, you know, two a week. By that first summer, you know, 4 or 5 months into it, there were days I was doing 3 or 4 pop-ups around town with a full freezer of pints and not always selling out, but selling a good amount of them. And it was a lot of fun, a lot of packing pints, a lot of listening to music, just me and my wife, just standing there scooping ice cream for, you know, 8 hours, 10 hours at a time into little pint containers. We grew out of that pretty quickly and into our first little pop-up shop that we did. We had, a friend of ours whose kitchen we were renting. He came up with an idea of doing like a fried chicken, wine and ice cream, little, you know, all in one stop, which was really fun. We did that for a few months, took a break from that for a while we started looking at our brick and mortar. And then, when our brick and mortar started taking a minute, we got back into that same thing, just at a brewery. We brought our tipping cabinet over there and did scoops there 7 days a week. I love how we grew. It was very organic. Everything was just, oh, this is the next logical step. And it's been fun. It's been a fun road.
I have so many questions.
Let's hear it. What you got, Will?
Well, okay. So, well, first of all, have you, like, what was your back? Were you in hospitality or what was?
I have no pastry experience at all. It's all my wife. She's super talented. She won't admit it. She's very, you know, she's just so good at what she does. She's very neurotic. And I think you kind of have to be if you're going to survive. Cause everything in ice cream is so down to the gram. I'm sitting, you know, right before we started this meeting, I'm trying to balance fats for a vegan recipe that we're doing. And it's like, you know, everything has to be so precise. And that's her skill set. And she's, you know, she's just so talented in her, I don't even know. She's just good at what she does.
She would do
pastry program for restaurants. She was up in Minneapolis before moving down here. She hasn't had a pastry job since moving to New Orleans, but she's worked, you know, she did 15 years of working in pastry kitchens. Okay. So writing dessert menus and baking, and she always wanted to get into something that's, you know, if you own a bakery, you're baking every day. You're up at 4 a.m. baking every day. We can make our ice cream today and it's, you know, 20 days later, it's just as good as long as we're taking care of it on our end. So that shelf stable thing was always kind of in the back of her head.
So then she has this ice cream recipe. Mm-hmm. That she comes up with, and you're like, okay, we could make this in volume and sell it. Mm-hmm. Just went through the iterations of, you know, from when you first started doing that to now you've got your store open. How did that decision happen? Like, when did you decide, okay, like, let's do this.
It was about 5 years ago. I was sitting on the couch and she's in the kitchen. You know, I always joked, we bought our commercial ice cream maker probably 6 years ago. Cause you know, she knew she wanted to do this. Like one of our big machines that got us until we had to upgrade to the one we have now. And I always joke, you know, it's an expensive piece of machinery. And I always made the joke, always making fun of her, like, oh yeah, now we have a $7,000 ice cream machine just for our house. It's wonderful. It's great just for dinner parties. We have the most expensive home ice cream machine ever. I was always giving her guff, making fun of her, you know, lightheartedly. But there was one day I'm sitting in the living room, I think I'm watching a Cubs game or something, And she brings me a sample of the honey ice cream she had just made, which is like caramelized honey ice cream, and then chunks of honeycomb candy that she makes. And she brings it to me. I started eating it, and it was like, yeah, cool. This is what we're doing. You have to put this out there. And she was just so shy about it for so long. So, you know, that was probably 6 years ago. And then it was 3 years ago. Yeah, we were bored with our kid, you know, not really doing much. And I told her, like, just put it on Instagram. Just see what happens. Post that you have three flavors and, you know, we'll deliver them for free. And it just went insane from there. You know, our first business plan that we wrote 5 years ago, looking at it now is comical. It's how slow we thought we were going to scale. It's like, yeah, you know, year one, maybe we just try and get a wholesale account or two wholesale accounts. Year two, we maybe start trying to do pop-ups. It was like 3 weeks into actually launching, we were doing, you know, 200, 300 pints a week. It was great. But yeah, it made sense. That's why, you know, that's why I just pushed her into it, and she really got into it. And I mean, it was, yeah, just, it's, you got to taste her ice cream. Where you're in Florida or California?
I'm in North Carolina, but
I don't know why I guess Florida. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, just take the drive down. It's probably like 15 hours. You'll get it. You'll taste it.
I'm working on coming to New Orleans. Yeah. For this podcast, if I can, I mean, I'm trying to figure out a way that I can get down there. So I am 100% coming to have your ice cream. I didn't want to wait there because I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it work or when I will. And your story was so interesting because I just love ice cream. Like, I just freaking love ice cream.
Man, yeah, everybody does, you know.
We go through so much of it here. So yes, I want to have your ice cream one day. So that's a bucket list. We'll make it happen. New Orleans is a great town, and we have a lot of good customers there. And all right. So back me up a little bit. Y'all are sitting around. Well, first of all, you said watching the Cubs game. Are you from Chicago?
I'm not from Chicago. I'm from New Orleans.
You're from New Orleans.
But I grew up, my grandfather was a huge Cubs fan. So I just kind of grew up watching games with him. Okay. So just, you know, been with it for 30 plus years now. Okay. Yeah.
Well, okay, good. Well, you finally got your, win. That's a good one. Yeah.
Right.
Long suffering Cubs fans, I know. So
we're back to suffering now. It's, you know, it's, I'm not, we didn't get too used to it. We had two, 3 years on the top, and then it was trade everybody away. Now we're back. Look, I think we're going to win 90 games this year. You know, we'll see where we end up in October, but I think it can happen.
Get your, get some Lucy Boone up in Wrigley one day. Well, okay. So y'all are sitting around and you've got this commercial ice cream maker. Like what else were y'all doing? You just had a kid. Did you have other jobs or were you?
I was running restaurants at the time. So yeah, I was front of house management for restaurants, and you know, it was fun, and I love what I do, and I have a similar job now. I do production as well, but I run the restaurant, the ice cream shop. So yeah, that's kind of, this is a natural thing for me. It's a much smaller scale than what I'm used to, so it's a lot easier. Yeah. That's why I'm able to kind of help out with production as much as I do. But yeah, we're both hospitality people. Okay. So we, you know, we've got 30 years of experience running kitchens and restaurants, between the two of us. But yeah, it was, you know, we took time off, when our daughter was born. So timing kind of worked out perfectly. You know, I took time off when our daughter was born, and, and I don't know how familiar you are with March of 2020, but the world kind of shut down and everybody had a fair amount of spare time on their hands.
You know, I did not connect the dots between 3 years ago. And literally was 3 years ago this month.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Got it. Yeah.
Not so, yeah, it was, okay. It was partly COVID. It was something we'd been planning probably 2 years prior to COVID, but COVID was, I mean, it was a big catalyst for us being able to have the time. If I was working 60 hours a week, it would have been a lot harder. We would have probably still done it, but it would have, we would have scaled slower. It would have been, you know, it would have just, it would look different than it does right now, but this was always kind of on, you know, on the docket. But yeah, COVID sped it up, if nothing else. You know, I always feel silly when I say like, yeah, COVID could have been one of the best things that's ever happened to me, but you know, it's, yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, it was what it was, and then how you reacted to it and how you responded and what you got out of it was really up to you.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. I mean, and it launched a lot of great businesses. So
yeah,
really positive outcome for y'all. So, okay, I want to talk about moving into your first store, but before I do, I want to dive into the ice cream itself. So, I always wonder about, I'm fascinated with ice cream because, and I'm talking about like the ingredients in the ice cream. And I'm so curious about this because you see some and there's 25 ingredients and then you see some and it's like I get this brand at Harris Teeter. It's actually HT Naturals. And it's milk, cream, and sugar.
Yep.
Like, tell me about the ice cream that y'all put out and what goes in it. And like, you know,
I mean, we do a pretty simple recipe. We do a Philly style ice cream. So, no egg. So I find that you can, because there's not that egg in it, there's not that extra protein, that extra heaviness. You can eat a pint of it without even blinking.
So Philly style means no egg,
no egg. So yeah, it's just, it's sugar, milk, cream, basically. Two different kinds of sugar. We use a glucose syrup to keep the sugar a little, it just changes the ratios out a little bit. But we use a glucose syrup, granulated sugar, milk, cream, and we use a dry milk powder. But yeah, it's as simple as we can make it. And that's our base recipe. And then we'll, you know, we throw vanillas in, we'll temper chocolates in. And our big thing, what we love to do is, we like stuff in our ice cream. We like to, you know, we like to load it up with cookies, cakes, caramels, you know, pie fillings, just whatever. And that's where my wife's background really comes in, is she makes great cakes. She makes great key lime pie. She makes toffee. She makes all these wonderful things. Just, you know, it's the other day we were in the kitchen and I was about to make some toffee and I don't normally make the toffee. And you know, she was like, no, just, I'll do the toffee. I do it in my sleep. It takes me 30 seconds. It'll take you an hour. I'm like, yeah, you're right. That's fair. That's your skill set. So yeah, that's, you know, we love to just throw things into it. And that's, you know, that's where you get the more ingredients, but really a lot of that stuff is just, it's like caramel. It was just cream, you know, cream and sugar just cooked differently. Toffee is just cream and sugar cooked differently. So we do, the ingredients are still pretty simple. How you doing? Still pretty simple, even when you get these different ingredients, in, like different components in them. And we try and, you know, we source strawberries from the farmer's market. We have a honey ice cream that we buy honey from the ice, from the farmer's market. We source things as responsibly as we can. But yeah, we try and just keep it simple. You know?
What about the milk? Where do you get your milk from?
The milk, it's, so dairy is really hard. You know, we want to source local dairy, but it's really hard for, if you're buying small batch milk or cream, your fat percentages are all over the place. So I've talked to a few people that do dairy and they can't guarantee. I use a heavy cream that's 40% heavy cream. And it has to be that, because if you get too much, it kind of gets that like filmy feeling on your mouth. If there's not enough cream, it's too light. They can't guarantee a certain fat percentage. They say it's anywhere from 20 to 40.
Oh yeah. You can't,
we have to have that exact 40 mark. So sadly we can't use like a local farm for our dairy. So we just go through a local purveyor. Okay. So, you know, we still keep the money local. We go through, you know, Natco Provisions, which is based out of New Orleans. Or Louisiana, Southeast Louisiana, the president of the company comes in and gets ice cream frequently enough. So, you know, we can't get the product, but we at least try and keep our money local, as local as possible by buying it through them.
Now the, okay. So you wrote a plan 5 years ago, you expanded a lot faster than you had allowed for in that plan. Was where does the plan take you? Like, what's next?
I mean, North Carolina for sure. You know, you said Wrigley. I'd love to set up in Wrigley. But I do want to expand. There's a restaurant down here called the Ruby Slipper, and it's eggs. And I think there's one there now, it's Tennessee. But they started as one little shop in Mid City 16 years ago. And now you can go to Orange Beach. They're in Florida. They're in Tennessee. They're all over. There's like 15 in New Orleans.
Wait, so I'm trying to clean it
up. Thank you. So I love that business model. It's eggs. It's a cheap product, which milk and cream, even with inflation, are still cheap enough. Like, I would love to have another store in a year, year and a half. We'll see if that happens. And then just kind of keep going from there. I definitely Southeast Louisiana, you know, if not just the Southeast of the United States, it can be a lot of fun. Sorry, one second. I need to close the kitchen door. Right. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
I love to think big. I also just love being under tremendous amounts of stress. And I think that's what opening a brick and mortar is. So let's do it. Let's throw myself back into that stage. It's fun.
Well, okay. So tell me about opening the brick and mortar. How did you find your location? That's got to be challenging to find your very first one with a new concept like that.
We started looking in the summer of 2020. We started looking like late spring of 2020.
Okay.
And we had a realtor, and she's fantastic. We love her. She sent us a couple of listings, and we were going to see a movie. It was during the day. My brother's a teacher. It was me, my wife, and my brother going to see a Casablanca on the big screen, or a showing of Casablanca on the big screen. And we happened to just drive by where our shop is at now. And it was under construction. And we saw a woman that looked like a realtor showing the place. So we just kind of parked the truck, hopped out, and asked if we could see the space. And our first thought was, no, it's a little small. I don't know that it'll work. And then we talked to our architect, had them come out, and they assured us that everything would fit, and we weren't really sure. They assured us that's their job. It's their job to make things fit in a small space. And it's like looking at my spot when it was a white box to what I have now, it's insane. Like I have a dry goods closet. I have no idea how they fit that space into this tiny little shop. But it was just our realtor sent it to us. We loved it. The price was right. There's a fantastic pizza shop next door that just opened up. Right. Who doesn't want pizza and ice cream on a Friday or Saturday night?
Pizza and ice cream. Yep.
So it just everything just kind of fell into place and just made sense, you know, with our neighbor Xander opening his shop. I love the location. It felt right. So we moved on it. And then, you know, negotiating the lease took a while. Then we got that figured out, and permitting in New Orleans is chaotic and a nightmare. So that took a while. And then, you know, the build out is a build out. So that took a while. So it was a lot of stress. It was a long, long year and a half. But you know, it's what we do, you know, you thrive under stress, you figure it out. So yeah, here we are.
That's how you wonderful people in hospitality do. That's why, dude, to be honest with you, man, it's why I love doing this podcast so much. And it's why I love our business, the industry that we serve so much, because I have a lot of admiration and respect for y'all, because if you're in hospitality, you're dealing with stress daily, and it can come from any number of angles. And there's more types of stress that you might have to deal with in the hospitality business on any given day than in any other industry. It's incredible where that stress can come from.
I would rather be in hospitality than have someone's life in my hands. I think that sounds stressful. Someone's life, someone's money.
I know. I always say that the emergency room is the only other place when you're doing, but it's like, it's so that's it though. And you, but y'all have like, it's like, if you own a, If you own a restaurant or you own a ice cream shop or whatever, any kind of hospitality business, 24/7, 365, you are responsible for this litany of things that could go awry, whether it's with a customer, whether it's with an employee, whether it's with equipment, whether it's with your raw materials. Like, you touch every aspect of the economy. Like, so to me, just because of the variety of types of things that you have to learn and manage and deal with and master in some way, you know, that you need to be responsible to be able to deal with on a daily basis. I mean, dude, I tip my hat. Like, I think it's a really incredible skill set that you and your peers have. Legit.
It's the stress is high, but the upside is just as high. The fun is, like, you know, restaurants are fun. People go there to have a great time. People go to enjoy themselves and have a memorable night. And just being a part of that has always been something that I love, you know, especially like ice cream. Everybody loves ice cream. So this is so low stakes. It is high stakes because, yeah, it's my livelihood. You know, it took more to build this shop than my house is worth. You know, that's always in the back of my head. But yeah, it's ice cream. So we try and keep that in the front of our minds as often as possible. It's supposed to be fun. We're supposed to be enjoying this. You know, we're working 12-hour days, 6-7 days a week at this point. It's exhausting, but you know, it's fun. I wouldn't trade this. I mean, I wouldn't say for anything, because, you know, you could offer me a lump sum of cash and I'd walk away and never work again. But on the days where I'm here from 7 a.m. until midnight doing prep, scooping ice cream, wiping down tables, doing whatever it is, it's at the end of that day, you know, I'm not mad that I've been there for however many hours. You know?
Yeah, that makes sense, man. Very, very, very good point. So your shop there, like how many folks can fit in there? And is there outdoor seating, or tell me about the flow of...
Sorry?
Tell me about the flow of customer traffic there. Like, do people come in and sit down?
We have a small little dining area. We've got about 5 tables. That was the big downside to our location. I wanted like an outdoor patio area. Give me one second. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We our first couple of days open, we were having good days, but we were kind of not feeling great about ourselves, because, you know, there's a pizza shop next door and we'd have like one couple sitting eating ice cream, and we'd look next door and the ice cream or the pizza shop was completely full. But it took us a minute to realize that, like, oh yeah, people are coming in, getting a product that's already cooked, eating it. It takes, you know, 5 minutes to eat a scoop of ice cream and then going on their way. You order a pizza, that's 20 minutes for it to cook. So, you know, it's the flow is just different. So both of us coming from restaurants and seeing, you know, not a full dining room was a little daunting. And it just took a second to just retrain our brains on that's fine. It's how it goes. But, you know, those Friday, Saturday nights, we have generally from 5 p.m. on, we'll have a line out the door, which is just so, it feels so good, you know, knowing that people, it's such an assurance of, like, you know, we've for a year and a half been putting everything we have into this. And when you're opening a small business, especially like a food small business, it's such a gamble. It's, are people going to come? Are people going to come and enjoy this? Like, I could put all this money into this and then fail 3 months later. So it's such a stressful period for a year and a half, or however long your build out is. Is this the right thing to do? Like, we're gambling all of it here. What if we fail? And that's just always in the back of your head lingering. And then to open and have lines, just it just is this assurance, like, we did the right thing. This is where it's at. It's wonderful. It's so fun. It's so cool to see people coming through our doors.
I love it. Well, the constant notion that you know, this could all go away tomorrow is what fuels so many great entrepreneurs, for sure.
You have to stay relevant. You have to stay good. You can't phone anything in, you know. You can't start not taking care of your products because one person has a bad experience. They're going to tell 10 people. You know, 10 people that might not ever come through my door again. I mess up one batch of cold brew ice cream, and everybody that tries that batch of cold brew ice cream, if it's their first time having my ice cream, they're going to think, oh, this is crap. I'm never coming back.
Yeah.
It makes you stay on top of your game all the time. Yeah.
Well, y'all have done an amazing job with your social media. I mean, to have that many 9,000 plus followers on Instagram for a little, I mean, that dude, that's.
I think it was just right place, right time. Just good luck, honestly. It's my wife and I don't have any social media. I have like the Lucy Boone ice cream account linked on my phone.
Yeah.
And I'll put things on the story every now and again, and I'll do a post every now and again. And my wife isn't particularly well versed in Instagram either. I think it's just the right people kind of started noticing us, and we somehow broke the algorithm and somehow got through. And it's so weird that for the first 3 years of our business, we relied on Instagram to exist. So I'm very happy that it exists, and I'm very happy that we've figured out the algorithm somehow. Like two of the least tech savvy people that I know somehow have a successful Instagram account. It's nice. Yeah.
Well, that's good, man. No, you are doing. I mean, look, you've got more followers than a lot of, you know, established restaurants that you know have, you know, 10 times as many employees and have been around for a long time. So it's fantastic. And plus, I mean, look, you got ice cream. I mean, you got something that like you said, ice cream is always a happy thing. Like everything about it's just happy and positive. And
that, you know, I'll be at a bar having a drink and end up striking up a conversation with somebody, and you know, it always comes up, what do you do? And I, you know, I'll say, oh, I make ice cream. And like half the time I'll get the question, like, why ice cream? You know, everybody always wants to know why ice cream. Like the easy response is, well, do you like ice cream? I've never heard somebody say no. Like, yes, everybody likes ice cream. Like that's why we do it. Because anybody will go out and spend $5 on a scoop of ice cream on a whim, you know? It's much harder to talk yourself into going out and having a $300 dinner. That's a planned thing. Going out for ice cream once a week, that's $5. You're not thinking about that. You know?
Yeah.
But it's ice cream. It's fun.
So there's a, well, look, as y'all, you know, continue to grow and you start thinking about more locations and so forth, if you're ever interested, we've got a guy that I've gotten to know. He's been a customer a long time. I've gotten to know him pretty well. His name's Drew Hannes. He's out in Boulder. He has a place called Sweet Cow Ice Cream. And like y'all, he started with, you know, one location. They have like seven now, but they're doing, you know, it's like concentric circles. Like, you know, they started in Boulder and they're just kind of growing out from there. Right. And
they're in Denver now. They're making really good ice cream.
They make and very good ice cream.
That line is insane. That like me and my wife have waited an hour in that line before for ice cream. It's insane. And it's so good.
Well, if you ever want to talk to Drew, just let me know. I'm sure he'd love to share his story, and just, you know, if you guys have things you want to bounce off, or
that would be an amazing connection. That would be so cool.
Done. I'll do that. I just saw Drew last week. I was hanging out with him, and he's actually gotten back into the, you know, they like he got into it to make ice cream, and then they kept growing, and now he was, you know, sort of taking on the role as a CEO or whatever. And a few months ago, he removed himself from that role and got back into. He made himself assistant general manager or assistant manager at one of his stores.
Cool.
Back to serving ice cream. He wanted to connect with customers. Like, really cool guy. I'm sure he would, he'd be a good connection to have. Like, good story, you know, probably learn a lot, you know, lessons they've learned, you know, to mistakes to avoid, whatever. If you're interested. So I'll get you guys connected for sure.
Yeah.
Well, look, I'll let you roll. I am working on trying to figure out some time to get down there, probably this summer. And if I come to New Orleans in the summer, I mean, it's hot enough in North Carolina in the summer and steamy and everything else. I don't know what in the world it was like in New Orleans, but I'm sure it's a perfect place to
nice and cool
and have some ice cream for sure. So,
it's a nice balmy 98.
Yeah.
At 6 a.m. It's great.
Oh, man. Well, if I can make that happen, trust me, I will be there because...
Let me know. Let me know. I've got hundreds of restaurant recommendations, a few ice cream spots. You know, let me know when you make it.
Are you... do you know the Hotel St. Vincent?
Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
Okay. There. That's where I was trying to get the GM there. I'm hoping to have on the podcast. And I thought, well, if I can do that, I'll just go stay there. And then... stay with them and just come visit a bunch of customers, you know, in the area. Yeah. That's kind of my plan.
That's a great hotel. They've got, I haven't gotten into the pool, but they've got this gorgeous little courtyard with a pool in it, two or three bars in it that are making great cocktails. We haven't had the food yet, but the cocktails are great.
Yeah. It sounds awesome. Well, that's my plan, but I didn't, honestly, I was like looking at New Orleans customers. I was like, I got to just go ahead and call them because I just thought your story when I saw how many followers you had, and I love ice cream, and I saw that you named it after your dog. I was like, man, this is so cool. I'm not waiting. Like, I want to get on the podcast.
Yeah, now. Right. Can't think of a better reason to come down than I want to fly from North Carolina to Louisiana than I want ice cream.
That's right.
That's right. I'll back that up. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look, thanks for the time. Thanks for doing. Thanks for the business. We appreciate y'all.
Absolutely. And, yeah. No, thank you. I'm doing some stuff on scheduled fly right now. Thank you for having me. Thank you. Yeah, this was fun.
Good deal. Good deal. I'll be in touch. If I'm coming, and I'll definitely get you connected with Drew. We'll just do an email intro or whatever. You'll like him. Super good dude.
Cool. Thank you. Yeah, that's great. That's awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, Aaron. All right, man. All right. Have a good one.
Cool. You too. Talk soon.
See you. Bye.